I've been told that you trademarked your father's name without telling him, I said. Is that true?
Giampello nodded.
Yes, he said, but if I have a knife in my hand, it doesn't mean I'm a killer. I registered the name in order to keep my father's legacy intact. I felt that after his death, the only glass sold under his name should be his. I had proposed starting a new line of glass under a different name, perhaps Archimede Seguso II, or the successors of Archimede Seguso, or something else. But my brother wanted to keep everything under the name Archimede Seguso, even glass designed and made by others after he died. That would turn the signature of a great artist into a brand name, and its meaning would be diluted. I trademarked the name in the hope of preventing that from happening. I could see a certain logic in that, but I was still mystified by Giampaolo's attempt to have his father declared mentally incompetent and removed as head of the company. I asked him about it. That was a purely legal maneuver, he said. When I left, I wanted to be compensated for the 30 years I had put into the company. I asked my father to buy out my share, but he refused. Then I said, well, at least give me a couple of retail shops so I can earn some money while I start my new life. I had intended to write books about glass, but in order to do that, I had to have a way of making a living. When we could not agree on my compensation, I realized I would have to sue the company. But that would mean suing my father, and I could never have done that. If I could persuade a judge to pronounce him mentally incapacitated, however, and appoint my brother in his place, then I would be suing my brother when I sued the company. I was not sure how declaring one's father mentally unfit to run his own business could be viewed as preferable to filing a financial claim against him, but I let it pass. Have you made any efforts to get in touch with your parents since you went off on your own? The first year, I sent flowers to my mother with a card for their wedding anniversary. She returned the flowers, and a couple of days later, I received a letter. My card was inside the envelope, unopened. The note to me said, "You know why."
Have your children also been affected by your break with your family? I asked.
Yes, they have. My parents refused to see them. They rejected them in different ways. This, then, was a dynastic rupture of sweeping proportion. Giampaolo spoke with very little emotion, but there was a heaviness in his words that betrayed a profound sense of pain.
Where were you the night of the Fenice fire?
I was at home, on the Lido, he said. My son called from New York and asked what was happening. I didn't know. I went outside to the lagoon and saw the red sky. Then I went in and turned on the TV and began to cry. I did not call my parents. By that time, I had no connection.
What became of your plan to write books on the history of glass?
Without an income, it was not possible. I decided to go into business for myself, and I started Seguso Vito. I had to sell property in order to do it, which gives you an idea of the intensity of my passion for glass. I have three sons. They are all in the business with me. The company belongs to them. Two work here in Murano with me, and the third runs our showroom in New York. For a long time, I had felt that glassmaking in Murano had grown stale. In the period from 1930 through the 1950s, we had great, innovative glassmakers in Murano. Ercole Barovière, Alfredo Barbini, Napoleone Martinuzzi, Paolo Vanini, my father. It was a time of planting, sowing. Then, from the 1960s to the 1990s, it was a season of harvest without planting anything new. Now Murano finds itself with gray, dark fields, and they ask why. The challenge is to find new ways of using the old techniques. And that is what we are trying to do here.
Can you show me some examples? I asked.
I can show you many. Giampaolo rose from his chair and led me over to the table covered with dozens of glass objects.